look at that text, but we're going to start looking at just illustrations of being more than conquerors. And we're going to read this morning from the book of Joshua, and we're going to read from chapter 5, verse 13. And before I do that, we have a birthday boy in our midst this morning. He was born in 1958, so he's 58 today. I don't know, I guess that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, eh, Mark? Not Mark Ratzer, the other Mark. He's making himself very small. You know who you are. Those sitting around, Mark, just wish him happy birthday, please. I'm going to get him to stand up if I don't see people moving. Trouble is, I can't see him. Otherwise, I would have pointed to him. There he is, sitting at the end there. Happy birthday, Mark. Do you appreciate me recognizing it like that? No. Will you come back next week? Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord I have now come." Then Joshua fell down, face down to the ground in reverence, and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take your sandals off, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them, sound a long blast from the trumpets. Have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry them in front of it." And he ordered the army, "Advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets. That was the ram's horn trumpet. They called it a shofar. And the ark of the Lord of the covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests and blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, "Do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carried the 7 trumpets, went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord, while the trumpets kept sounding. So the second day they marched around the city once and then returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." And then verse 20, when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this is your word, and there's a message there for us, Lord. And your Spirit, who inspired this word and who has preserved it all these years, Lord, you are here in your Spirit to help us understand it. Please, Lord, speak to each one of us. We need you to speak to each one of us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before I get going, just a reminder that this is the first Wednesday of the month on this Wednesday, but we're not having our normal prayer gathering because of the QGM, which is the week after. So just please take note of that. This Wednesday night's not our normal church prayer gathering. All right, more than conquerors. C.S. Lewis. Everybody quotes C.S. Lewis because he's really a great guy, a great thinker, and he says a lot of important stuff. But he made an important observation about the devil. He says that Christians often fall into one of two opposite extremes. Either we deny the devil's existence, or we overemphasize his importance. Which means, because though that is a tendency to either overemphasize his importance or to deny his existence altogether, it means that we must be careful to steer a careful biblical course. Now, steering what I believe is a biblical course will inevitably upset some people. Some people are going to feel that we're not emphasizing his work enough, and they're going to argue that it's going to leave us spiritually vulnerable because we're not emphasizing his work enough. Others will feel that just by talking about the devil, we're already giving him too much credit. So today, I'm going to live dangerously. I'm going to risk upsetting at least some people here this morning. Because you see, I don't think we can talk about being more than conquerors without touching on the realm of spiritual warfare. Paul writes this letter to the church at Ephesus. And when he gets towards the end of the letter, he introduces a section that deals with spiritual warfare. He makes it quite clear that Christians are involved in a battle. And while the outworking of the battle takes place here on earth, this is where we will experience it in physical terms. A lot of the actual activity takes place in the spiritual realm. Listen to Paul. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may stand against the devil's schemes." Now, if that's not plain enough, he carries on and he says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." You see, that is where the battle takes place, in the spiritual realm. We live here. We experience the outworking of it in the physical realm, but behind the physical expression of it is a spiritual dimension. But because God has made provision for us, we can be more than conquerors. Now, the Israelites have just spent 40 years wandering around in the desert. Round and round for 40 years, they've been wandering there. At last, they have crossed the Jordan River. They have set up camp just inside the promised land across the Jordan River. And right there is their first challenge, the city of Jericho. This city must be taken. Now, one night, the camp is asleep, and Joshua cannot sleep. He's got his mind going with this battle for Jericho. It's coming up. So he gets out of his tent and he wanders off a little bit from the camp, and in the distance he looks, and there he sees the fires inside the wall burning. Joshua has just come from the desert. The battles that he has fought have been desert battles. Joshua is not familiar with walled fortifications. "Do I need ladders?" he wonders to himself. "What about that gate? Am I going to need a battering ram? And what about when my men are standing below the walls? Am I going to need shields to stop the projectiles landing on their heads?" This is all new territory for Joshua. And he is standing there lost in thought. And suddenly he becomes aware of another presence. When Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Must have given Joshua a fright suddenly to become aware of someone who's obviously a fighting man with the drawn sword. So Joshua challenges him. Joshua went to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" Now, I'm pretty sure Joshua was unprepared for the reply. "Neither," he said, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Who is Joshua? the army of the Lord. Well, I can tell you he's not referring to the Israelite army. He is actually referring to the army of the Lord, the heavenly army. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's arrested and Peter draws his sword and he takes off poor Malchus, the servant. Malchus takes off his ear with his sword. Remember what Jesus said? He said, put your sword where it belongs. Don't you realize that right now I am able to call my father and 12 companies, more if I want them, of fighting angels, and they would be there battle ready. Jesus could have called the armies. Doesn't need Peter with his sword to take off the servant's ear. That is the army being referred to when he says, as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua gets the message. Joshua realizes that he is in the presence of deity. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence. Can you think of another occasion, other occasions, when something similar happened, when people realized that they were in the presence of deity? I mean, just cast your mind back to last week when we looked at Isaiah. Isaiah too was quite overwhelmed when he realized he was in the presence of deity. And then we get to the book of Luke, and the disciples have spent a fruitless night fishing. All night they haven't caught one thing. And then Jesus comes and he says, now go out again, cast your nets on that side and you will catch fish. And Peter, very reluctant, he knows there's no fish there. So he goes out, he does it, and he catches a huge catch of fish. Peter realizes he's in the presence of deity. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Being in the presence of deity does that to us. There's one more. The Apostle John, he's on the Isle of Patmos. He is in the Spirit as he worships, and suddenly he realizes that he is not alone. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. It's an awesome thing to be in the presence of deity. Joshua found it an awesome thing to be in the presence of deity, because that is in whose presence Joshua was, in the presence of the commander of the army of the Lord. Let me just give you some theology to explain why the commander of the army of the Lord is in fact deity. 16 times in the history books of the Old Testament, God is referred to as the Lord Almighty, or as the Lord of hosts, literally the Lord of the armies. That is a name given to God, the commander of the armies of the Lord. Joshua was in the presence of the Lord Almighty. He was in the presence of the one who is sovereign. And Joshua fell face down and he worshipped. He was in the presence of deity. But here is the interesting thing, and you mustn't miss this. What message does my Lord have for his servant, is what Joshua asked. Listen to the reply. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Don't miss this. Joshua and Israel are about to go out to battle. And the first command to be obeyed has apparently nothing to do with the battle. It has to do with worship. Do you get that? Our series is called More Than Conquerors, and we are more than conquerors, but we will not experience that if we miss this connection, our most important command to be obeyed. If we want to be more than conquerors, concerns worship. Of course, strategy is vital. And as you saw from the notices, when we have our QGM, we're going to be talking to you about strategy. And yes, volunteers are important because without volunteers, we can't do anything with our strategy. And working hard is vital if we're going to execute the strategy. We're going to work hard. But if we do all that and neglect worship, we literally waste our time. When Joshua fell down at the Lord's feet, he allied himself with the commander of the army of the Lord. And that army was placed on standby to support Joshua. How can I make a difference in a factory context where Jesus' name is mentioned mainly as a swear word? How can I make a difference in a sports team where God seems to be ignored? How can I impact the staff room where no one seems to care about Jesus? How can we as a church impact our community that seems indifferent to our message? I'm sure you've heard the statement, one with the Lord is a majority. Can you see that that is true? Because when we ally ourselves with the Lord, we have the Lord's army on our side as well. One with the Lord is a majority. And this means that the most important part of being a conqueror is worship. It's being in right relationship with the commander of the army of the Lord. Joshua worshipped, and Joshua went out into battle. And Joshua found that the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in and out. He's just worshipped. And he goes out in faith and he finds suddenly there's an insurmountable problem. But in the face of that insurmountable problem, the Lord gives him a promise. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands." Well, all Joshua can see is an impenetrable wall. And it probably wasn't long after that, after getting that promise, that Joshua was saying the Hebrew equivalent of, "Yeah, right. Hey?" You see, things immediately started to get confusing for Joshua. Have you ever faced a challenge? You believe the Lord will help you, but things happen which simply confuse you? And instead of things getting worse, getting better, they get worse. People you relied on deserted you, and you wondered, what on earth is the Lord up to? Just didn't make sense. This happens to Joshua. "See, I've delivered Jericho into your hands," but instead of the Lord then leading Joshua into victory, the Lord says, "March around the place, but what, you're going to make them dizzy? And march silently, don't even speak. Only thing I want to hear," says the Lord, "is the trumpet blasting. And by the way, you're going to do this for 6 days. And on the seventh day, you're going to do it 7 times. You are so sure that the victory, whatever victory looks like for you, you are so sure that it's right there. But instead, the Lord allows strange and confusing things. Things that seem to take you further and further from the promise, not closer. I mean, it doesn't take much imagination. How would Joshua be feeling? Yeah, is a battle to be fought. The walls are to be scaled. Maybe a gate to be broken down. Maybe he's feeling a little bit intimidated at the prospect, but at least if he was out there fighting, it would be doing something relevant to the challenge. But this walking around without even talking to each other, trumpets blaring, army not being used for what it ought to be used for. Lord, do something, we pray. But the Lord seems to be on his own mission. Well, at least we hope he's on some kind of a mission, but taking the city just doesn't seem to be part of what the Lord's doing. And worse than that, he seems to be hanging the army out to dry. You ever felt like the Lord's done that to you? Feel like it now? It's really hard to be desperate for something and the Lord seems to be on his own mission, different from yours. Now I want to say that numbers in the Bible are important. And the number 7 is an important number because it's a number of wholeness. It's a number of completeness. And so it was on the 7th day, after they had walked around the wall 7 times on the 7th day, that God's timing came right. Was that Joshua's preferred timing? I doubt it. Right now, is God acting according to your preferred timing? I didn't think so. But from God's perspective, his timing will always be perfect. We need to believe that. When God's timing was right, the command was given, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And then the miracle happened. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged in, took the city. On the 7th day, after they had walked around the wall 7 times, on the 7th day, the walls miraculously collapsed. What was the secret of their victory? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. In other words, it happened in God's time. Joshua had worshipped. Joshua had submitted himself to the commander of the Lord's armies. Joshua had continued in faith, even when it didn't make sense to him. And because the battle had now been won in the spiritual realm, Joshua experienced being a conqueror in the physical realm. Obviously, it wasn't an easy thing for Joshua. He still had to wait for the Lord's timing. It didn't take living by faith out of the equation. But because he had started right with worship, he was able to continue in faith even when it didn't make sense for him. Why might we be waiting? I want to show you something else interesting. The book of Daniel. Daniel was praying. Daniel had prayed, it tells us, for 3 weeks, praying and fasting. Just then, a hand touched me and lifted me, and the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray, your request has been heard in heaven. But I have come to answer your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit of the prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia." The process started the moment Daniel first prayed. But the angel coming encountered spiritual resistance in the heavenlies. Now there was that war going on in the heavenlies, but Daniel experienced it in the here and now as a delay. But Daniel continued in faith, holding on to the promises of God. Now, I don't fully understand it either. But this I know for sure. We are more than conquerors. And knowing as we do what Jesus did on Calvary, where he defeated the devil, actually makes it easier for us than it was for Joshua. We are more than conquerors. But yes, something else I know for sure. We tap into the heavenly power through worship. As we sing songs of praise to our great God, we encourage ourselves. We recalibrate what's happening in the physical realm against the greatness of God who we are worshiping. As we hear the greatness proclaimed in the preaching, we encourage ourselves with the greatness of our God. As we gather in Bible study groups, we are encouraged as this one tells their story and this one tells their story, and we see that we are together on this journey. As we humble ourselves in prayer, bowing down, verbalizing our need to the commander of the Lord's armies, we know that he hears us And the Word of God tells us, if we know that He hears us, we know that in His time, don't leave that out, in His time, seven times, completeness, when His time is complete, in His time, we will hear from Him. Right now, your challenge may be health. It might be financial. It might be relational. What I'm saying is your challenge is physical. It's an in this world challenge. Joshua's challenge was physical. He needed to take a very physical city of Jericho. And yet the first command he was given was to worship. I'm not saying that every hardship we face is the devil attacking us. That does give him too much importance. But I'm saying that in every battle we face, we need to ally ourselves with the commander of the Lord's army. So every battle we face needs to be faced in the context of worship. And as we face these battles, the most important form that worship will take is prayer. Yes, there are going to be things we need to do, but whatever we do must flow out of worship and especially prayer. We are more than conquerors. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, I know that there are some of our folk this morning who are wondering what on earth you're doing. I know that. And I know that for every one of us, there's going to be a time in our life when we're going to wonder what on earth you're doing, because none of us is exempt from that. But Lord, yes, the truth, we are more than conquerors. And I just pray, Lord, that whatever happens, we will remain in the place of worship, allied to the commander of the army of the Lord. And in due time, we will see your hand and actually live out your promises. But Lord, even in the time of waiting, we can have a sense of being a victor, even in the time of waiting. Lord, let us be encouraged this morning. We need your encouragement. And we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen.